add one more prayer concern need. Virginia, you'll be having tests this coming week, won't you? And so let's lift up Virginia. You know, what day is it on?
Thursday.
Okay. So let's lift up all week long, and especially on Thursday when she has these tests. So everything will go well, and we'll certainly be praying for you, Virginia. This morning we're looking still in James chapter 3, 7 through 12 this morning, and how to tame the tongue. Have any of you figured that out? How we can tame the tongue? Well, James has lots to say about it, and it's good for us to know how that we should be aware, according to what James is saying, how to do that. So if you'll follow along with me with verse 7, first of all, where James says, "For every species of beast and birds, of reptiles and creatures of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by the human race. But no one can tame the tongue. It is a restless, evil, and full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and the Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the likeness of God." Now, I've really pondered on that this week. It kind of jumped out at me as I read that one verse that everyone is made in the image of God. Now, we know that God is spirit. As John 4:24 says, when we worship the Lord, when we worship God, we worship Him in truth and in spirit. So we know that God is spirit. He's always existed. Alpha, Omega, according to Genesis through Revelation. So, the character of Christ and God, the Trinity, is righteous, holy. And so, therefore, that is what we are to imitate in our likeness in that spiritual realm of our Heavenly Father. So, when we think about that and we think of other people, remember, they are made, you and I, in the image of God. So, verse 10 now. "From the same mouth come both blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be this way. Does a fountain send out from the same opening both fresh and bitter water? Can a fig tree, my brethren, produce olives, or a vine produce figs? Nor can salt water produce fresh water." So when we look at what James is saying here this morning in this text, he is saying the power of speech is one of the greatest powers God has given us. The power of speech. And when we speak, or when we make a speech, or when we talk, we're always sending out some type of message. And the Bible says we bless God with our mouth, with our tongue, in praise and worship and so forth. In the same way or manner, sometimes it says that we curse man and so forth. And James is saying, okay, we need to get this right. We need to understand that we need to show kindness or extend grace to, in our words, to other people, to one another, because they are made in the image of God. So, well, I'll get into that more. When we speak not against someone else, it's if we are saying that against God Himself, since we are made in His image. And that's what James is saying. So with the tongue, man can, as James says, praise God. We can pray, we can preach the word, and lead the lost to Christ with our tongue. You know, we have the scripture, we have the word of God, and it's in our heart and it's in our mind, and we can lead people to Jesus Christ. And that is the praise and the worship part of what James is saying here. Now, that is a privilege, isn't it? A great, great privilege. And what a privilege that is for each one of us. But with the same tongue, James said he can tell lies that would ruin a person's reputation, break a heart, or send a soul into eternity without Christ. And that's why in the B part, or the latter part of verse 10, James says, my brothers, these things ought not to be so. So, since each of us will be spending probably, I estimate, and it is estimated, 10 years of our lives talking. Now, that might be on average. Some may be more, right, of talking. 10 years of your life will be talking. Did you know 25 years of your life is sleeping? If you live to be 75 years of age, you have spent 25 years of your life sleeping. That's a lot of hours, isn't it? But 10 years of that will be talking. So, it's of the utmost importance that we submit, according to James, our tongues to Christ and give Him control over our life. So this morning, first of all, let's look what James talks about in verse 7 and 8, the tameless tongue. So, he proclaims mankind's ability to some extent tame every species of animals of life. And that's why he says, for every species of the beasts and the birds and the reptiles and the creatures of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by man. Many of you have been to circuses or a circus or somewhere where they have animals and so forth. And you have the tamers, they tame lions and tigers and things like that. But man has never been able to tame a rhinoceros or an alligator. But you know what? Such animals, I guess, such as a snake, you can charm them to a certain extent. But there's other animals that you can tame, and that's what James is saying here. So, the tongue is not only like an uncontrolled fire, it's also like an untamed beast. So, every type of species of four classifications of animals have been restrained or tamed by man. And that goes back to Genesis chapter 1, verse 28. At creation, man was given, according to Genesis 1:28, dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves upon the earth. And actually, God gave Adam the responsibility of naming every animal, reptile, bird that there was. He had a pretty good chore in front of him, didn't he? Of all the reptiles and animals and so forth that we know of and seen. So this dominion has been retained by fallen man. So James doesn't say that all the animals have been tamed, for certainly no one ever tamed, like I said, a rhinoceros or an alligator. I don't even think I'd want that responsibility or even try. But animals of all types have been tamed and so forth, as James says right here this morning. It kind of reminds me, how many of you remember Flipper? on TV. Quite amazing character. You remember his name? Flipper's name? I believe it was Tuffy, wasn't it? And he was a porpoise. And he starred in one of the most popular TV series in the 1960s. And he was fictional, but his name was Tuffy. And Tuffy served as a member of the United States Navy program called SEAL Lab 2, off the coast of San Diego during the summer of 1966. And he carried the mail between the surface and the crew 205 feet below surface. And it says that he transported tools and even served as a lifeguard when one of the crew pretended to be lost. So he was kind of in training sessions as well. So in all of this, mankind has tamed apparently untamable creatures of the sea, and yet people never have been able to successfully tame their tongue, according to James here. And in verse 8, it states that the tongue rebels against being tamed. And that's why in verse 8 it says, "But no man can tame the tongue. It is unruly evil, full of deadly poison." It should make us to set up and take attention to what James is saying here. The tongue of the natural man defiles all attempts to suppress it, and it brings to be brought under control. So this is evidence and proof of the vast and mischievous power of the tongue. And the Greek word for tame, it means to overpower or subdue or to conquer. And this was bringing an ox under control as you put up a yoke around its neck, or breaking the wild horses, and so on as this. And even in Matthew, Jesus says, you know, "Come to me, because my yoke is light." And Jesus welcomes that as an invitation to come to him. And yet, it also talks about that here in James as well. So, men can control great beasts, but we have trouble sometimes with our tongue, according to James. But in Matthew chapter 12, verse 34, Jesus says, "Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks." And what a blessing that is. Out of the abundance of a heart. So that means whatever it's in the heart is going to come forth. And it is a lot better to speak the words of kindness and grace to one another, or to teach it in a way that it's uplifting, according to James. So James deals with this. You know, this just didn't start yesterday. This has been through generations, from the beginning of Genesis all the way through Revelations, in the history of mankind has had this particular problem with the tongue. And therefore, that's why Jesus says, "Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks." Whatever it's in the heart, that's what comes forth according to God's word. Now, let's look at the shameless tongue. In verses 9 through 10, verse 9 addresses the irrational use of the tongue. And this is what James says in verse 9. "With it we bless our Lord." And what a better way to use our life, to use our tongue, to use what comes from the heart, is to bless the Lord and let it be heard among people. "And we bless the Lord, and we bless the Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the likeness or the image of God." So, looking at verse 9, it states both a positive and a negative use of the tongue. And we always want to think on the positive side, don't we? When we're thinking about using our lives to glorify and lift up the name of Jesus. So, the tongue is notoriously inconsistent, like Dr. Jekyll or Mr. Hyde. But looking at the positive side, the positive is to use our tongue in the blessing and the praising of God. The word bless is literally saying a good word, but in context of the Lord, which means praise Him with the love of gratitude. So this is the highest function of the human speech, the great end of which human tongue exists, that is to praise and worship the God with all our heart, soul, and mind. Now when we look in verse 9, the word, we looked at blessing, we looked at praise, but also James talks about the word, he used the word curse, refers to abuse language of a person, usually rising out of loss of temper. And that is something else that mankind has to control, temper. The temper. And it includes a speech in which is insulting as well as a profanity or profane in a person's life. So James says to curse or to wish evil to someone is in effect to curse God Himself. And the reason given is because man is made, as James says, in the image of God. And even though the image of God has been sadly fractured and clouded in man's fallen state, James indicates that man still bears the likeness in the image of God. And that's something really to think about. From the very beginning of time, when God created man and woman out of the dust of the earth, and He breathed into their nostril, He called it good. And if you read through the histories of Genesis and through the Old Testament of the fall of man and what occurred, all of this unraveled and started to cause man to, you know, drift away from God. And God brought the flood on. And through that, He also provided a way, an atonement through Jesus Christ. And in the New Testament church, and in the church in which we serve today, and so forth, we are given the instructions of how to live our life and how to live it abundantly. So in verse 10, it continues to spotlight the inconsistency of the tongue by saying, from the same mouth come both blessing and cursing, my brethren, these things should not be. So we are sinfully out of place when we bless God and then curse those in God's likeness. Now, in the abnormal for a man to be blessed by God, you know, we offer our prayer, we offer our praise, we offer our petition. And then yet, James says, speak evil of members of God's family, and it's contrary to grace, it's contrary to nature, James is saying. So we can't do much about our language of people who aren't Christians, can we? But you know, we as Christians, we are to be the light of the world. We are to set the standards. And we need to remember that, each and every one of us as Christians. I remind myself each day, I'm out in the public, as I meet people, you know, we want to be we are messengers, we are ambassadors of Christ. And we always got to be on our best behavior. Because you never know who's looking, right? Brenda and I we stopped at the Arby's, and we walked in, we didn't see Ed or Vicky sitting over in a booth. we got our food and we sat down, and Becky said, "Hey, Pastor Mike." She said, "I'm watching you. I'm going to see if you're on your best behavior." I said, "I certainly am, because Brenda's with me." But that's the way it is. You know, we need to demonstrate and present ourselves always, because it doesn't matter if we're in the presence of others. We are always in the presence of who? God. He sees all and He knows all. And we need to use our life in a positive way to influence and lead people to Christ. And then finally, James talks about the forked tongue in 11 and 12. And he illustrates this consistency with nature when he says, "Does a fountain send out from the same opening both fresh and bitter water?" So this illustration of the spring or fountain would have been familiar with the people of Palestine. Areas around the Dead Sea contain many springs of salty, toxic, and bitter water. But further north of the Dead Sea, travelers could find the spring, refreshing water. It was clear and sparkling and flowing water. And one of the things never occurred in nature, though, a spring never produces fresh and then bitter water from the same opening in the ground. And that's what James is talking about here. I remember growing up on the farm out in a particular area, field that was on my grandfather's place. There was a spring. There was a kind of a secluded place. And out of some rocks and so forth, this water come flowing out. And oftentimes we was out working and so forth, and we ran out of water from the jug, we would go to that spring. And we would have to get down on our hands and knees and drink from that spring. And it was cold, clear, fresh spring water. Never at any time when I got down on my hands and knees and drunk from that spring coming out of the ground, was it ever bitter. It was always fresh. And that kind of reminded me is what James was talking about here, that fresh flowing fountains never produce both fresh or bitter water. It's always the same. So James concluded his revelation concerning the tongue with aquaculture metaphor here in verse 12, when he says, "Can a fig tree, my brethren, produce olives, or a vine produce figs? Nor can salt water produce fresh." And the point is real clear here. As I looked at this and studied and meditated and prayed over this particular passage, this point is very clear. Nature is consistent, and a believer's tongue should not be an instrument of inconsistency, like produces like. The goodness of the earth, as James is talking about here. So when we look at what James is talking about, the problem, of course, is not the tongue. You think about it. The problem is not our tongue. What is it? It's the heart. It's the heart. Oftentimes, you know, you can talk to people, you can actually see their body motions and so forth, and it's not always their tongue or what's going on in their head, but it's what's in the heart. Maybe a lot of people have trouble, a lot of hardships and so forth in life. A lot of lost people haven't come to the point of yielding their life or surrendering their life to the Lord Jesus Christ, so they don't know the good side and the positive side of using their lives in perspective of a Christ-like spirit. And therefore, it is very important for us as Christians, the church, the body of Christ, to be the leading examples of sharing and showing people the positive side of using our mouths and our hearts and our lives for the cause of Christ. And then in Matthew chapter 15, verse 18, it says it this way: the things that proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and those defile man. And then Proverbs 4:23 says, watch over your heart. And that's something we need to do. Here in Proverbs, Solomon says, watch over your heart. Also in 2 Timothy, Paul tells Timothy, guard your heart. Guard the things that have been entrusted to you, that you might be a witness to those who need Christ. So here it says, watch over your heart with all diligence. Out of it are the issues of life. So, as we fill our hearts with God's Word, and as we yield to the Holy Spirit, He can use us to bring delight to others. He can. And we will be the refreshing fountains and fruitful trees. And that's what is expected of each and every one of us. And not that any of us reflect anything on the negative side of what James is saying, but this is a reminder to each one of us as we live our life, as we go about in life, even when we're with ourselves or by ourselves. You know, are we the same when we're by ourselves as we are out in the public? We should be the same, shouldn't we? No matter where we are, by ourselves or in the public. Because someone always watching. And, you know, there's nothing better than being a person who lights up a room when they come in. Or lights up the portion of their world as they meet people. You know, we stand before people every day. Many of us, you know, as leaders and some others in their profession, intermingle, and we meet people and we touch people in so many different ways. And what a better way is what Paul and James says: as we use our lives, let it glorify and let people know what we stand for, that we are the children of God. And as we go about in teaching and sharing our lives, then people will know that we've been with the Lord. It's so important as we start out our day, start it with the Lord. And when you meet people, then know that you've been with the Lord that morning. And your day always ends better, doesn't it? My day always ends better when I start it with the Lord. So it don't matter what happens, if you start it with the Lord, things are going to end better in the evening or at night. When you get back home, you sit down and relax and say, Lord, thank you for blessing my life. Thank you for putting someone in my life that I was able to influence or be a blessing to. That's what's expected to each one of us, and that's what God wants in each one of our lives. Let us pray. Father, we thank you this morning. We thank you for your message. We thank you for your word. You have given it to us to make a difference, to help us to understand your love and your grace. And with our lives, Lord, and with what you have entrusted to us as Christians, we can influence others, and that's what you want us to do. And Lord, we can hinder our own lives if we don't have a personal relationship with you. Lord, I pray this morning that as we look into your word and as we examine our own lives, that the Holy Spirit is in control. That each and each one of us, and we have to look at ourselves personally, that we yield our life each day, that we look to you, we know that you love us and care for us, and our responsibility as Christians is to witness and be an example that others would like to follow. Lord, we thank you for your love, your grace, and Lord, we just pray during this invitation that each one of us would just look at our own lives and think, Lord, thank you for your blessings, and thank you for your salvation. And in return, Lord, I want to be that living example for you. That's our desire, Lord. I just pray that we will submit to you during this invitation and allow you, Lord, to bring out the best, that we can be our best in what we do, and especially as we proclaim the name of Jesus. In his precious name we pray. Amen. Our hymn of invitation this morning is Jesus Loves Me. Let us stand as we sing our closing song.